From the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, I'm Taylor Kinnerup. Today, George Kennedy from the Columbia Missourian joins us to share his thoughts on how the University of Missouri has evolved since the 2015 race-related protests.
2 years ago, our university's racist history caught up with us. Weeks of growing tension came to a head on November 9, 2015, when President Tim Wolf and Chancellor Bowen Lofton resigned. We're still grappling with the repercussions of the concerned student 1950 protest. While it's pretty clear in retrospect what happened and why it happened, I suspect I'm not alone in still trying to understand just how the institution has changed as a result. Those realities and that uncertainty are my topics this week and next. University leaders reacted angrily to a New York Times analysis published in July. The headline was, "Long after protests, students shun the University of Missouri." The article began, "In the fall of 2015, a grassy rectangle at the center of the University of Missouri became known nationwide as the command center of an escalating protest. Students complaining of official inaction in the face of racial bigotry joined forces with a graduate student on a hunger strike. Within weeks, with the aid of the football team, they had forced the university system president and the campus chancellor to resign. It was a moment of triumph for the protesting students, but it has been a disaster for the university." It seems to me that, in fact, this was a fair summary and description, with the exception of that last sentence. The temporary campground just south of Traditions Plaza was indeed a focal point. Jonathan Butler did become a household name. The action of the football team and the support of its head coach certainly stunned fans and infuriated donors. What the Times article didn't say, and what is also true, is that neither racial bigotry nor efforts to combat it were new to us in 2015. For more than a century after its founding in 1839, our university refused to admit black students. Both Lloyd Gaines and Lewfield Bluford sued for admission and won in the U.S. Supreme Court. He in 1938, she in 1941. Neither was able to attend. Both were eventually awarded honorary doctorates. The name adopted by the 2015 protesters commemorates the year in which the first blacks were at last admitted. To this day, the percentage of black students and faculty lags far below their percentage in the state's population. So we can hardly blame protesting students for losing patience. The protest itself was peaceful. The only incident approaching violence was the action of an overwrought white faculty member who tried to prevent a student photojournalist from doing his job. That, of course, made the television news. Then President Wolf and Chancellor Lofton resigned. The tents came down. The football team went back to practice and even won for the first time in 5 weeks. What the Times described as disaster was foretold in the results of a public opinion poll taken just after the protest ended. By 62% to 20%, respondents said they disagreed with protesters' actions. By 52% to 25%, they disagreed that racial inequality existed on campus. Today, my guess is that those opinions are still widely shared across the state and in the legislature. Think about that and look at the enrollment numbers, and you can see the basis for the disaster designation. However, there's another way to look at how things stand in 2017. The Times article only touched on this more positive perspective. There's a case to be made that the more important and potentially more lasting result of 2015 is, at long last, a recognition of the burden we carry from our history and a serious commitment to lift that burden from the backs of current and future students. I've been discussing those possibilities with some of the people who are trying to turn disaster into achievement. Next week, I'll write about what I've learned. I'm George Kennedy.
To share your thoughts with George, his email is kennedyg@missouri.edu. Taylor Kinnerup, KBIA News, Columbia.